Greet you all in Jesus' name. Been blessed by being here and with the recent passing of a number of people locally and in our churches. It is just a reminder that we want to continue on faithfully preaching the word and living our lives in a way that pleases God. For those of you who aren't with us normally, I have been preaching through the fruit of the Spirit, and this morning will be a continuation of that. This morning, looking at the two fruit, patience and kindness, which if you are familiar with the King James, you will recognize that as long-suffering and gentleness. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5. I will again be reading a number of verses surrounding the fruit of the Spirit. Beginning in verse 16 of Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In my study of these two fruit, I was reminded that in order for there to be fruit evident in my life, I must submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And for some reason, this time it was especially made clear to me that submission to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life is key to these fruit being evident in my life. The works of the flesh are a natural result of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit are natural result of the Spirit in our lives. But contrary to the works of the flesh, the fruit is produced supernaturally by the power of the Spirit. See, the flesh is our natural outworking of what the flesh likes to do. But if we display the fruit of the Spirit, it is something supernatural. There are good, disciplined people who can display some of the fruit of the Spirit, but they are not submitting to the Spirit in their life. And that can be you and I. You know, most of us having grown up in godly homes and learning maybe from a young age how to discipline ourselves, we can do pretty well at some of these fruit just in our own flesh. But again, the key is, are we submitting to the Spirit? It's easy to get our focus on the outward action and thus try to change our actions rather than focusing on the heart and asking the question of how much am I submitting to Christ's Lordship in my life? You know, it's easy. I say easy. It's easy to get our focus on the outward action. We see that a time that we're impatient, and we say, "Oh man, I got to work on that." And next time we work a little harder in the flesh at trying to be patient next time. But I fear, at least as I look at my own life, that often my focus is I want to please man. And so if I'm impatient in front of other people, then I'm afraid of how that's going to make me look. And so then I resolve to next time not allow that part of me to be shown to other people. And can you see then how the focus is completely on how do I appear to others rather than seeing the bigger picture and saying, am I submitting my life to Christ and allowing that to supernaturally change me into being a patient person? And if we could say that for any of the other fruit of the Spirit, I just picked that one out because that's one of the ones that I'll be focusing on today. A possible test, another question to ask is there evidence in my life of the divine nature? You know, the Bible talks about we having, who are Christ, having a divine nature. And it is constantly at war with our fleshly nature. But those are important questions to ask to really get to the heart of understanding the fruit of the Spirit. Do I have evidence in my life of the divine nature? A possible test of whether our good virtues are from the Spirit or the flesh is to see how well they are displayed at home or with those closest to us. The point being that it may be easy to put on a good front when we are out with other people and display the quote-unquote real person at home. And that's a challenge because those that are closest to us often know us the best. And we usually aren't quite as concerned about what they think of us as we are about those outside. The challenge that I have taken personally from this study, particularly these two, is do I study with a head knowledge and learn a lot about the fruit of the Spirit and never really allow it to take root in my heart? And I find that for any time I prepare a sermon, I can become so focused on, well, what, you know, my outline, what do I want to include, trying to dig deep into the Word of God and trying to understand what the Word of God is saying, that the application for me is kind of far away because I've got my focus on, I want to make sure I have everything studied right. So that's been a challenge for me. How do I do that well and yet say, God, what are you teaching me through this? What do you want me to take home? From the People's New Testament commentary, I take this about the fruit of the Spirit. They say there are four groups. Number one is love, the Christian grace which works out the whole law. And I talked some about that last time I preached. Love, in a lot of ways, encompasses all of these. Particularly patience and kindness or gentleness. Those are so much a part of what love is that love encompasses so much of these. The second one is joy and peace, which should be the normal state of the Christian. Thirdly are the graces, then, which relate to others, which would be these, the next five. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or fidelity, and meekness. And then the last one being the last fruit, that one that looks to myself, which is temperance or self-control. I have found that to be helpful. So today we'll be looking at two graces which have to do with our relationship with others. And few things bring out as much fleshly living in us as our interactions with other people. So it is imperative that we look at what the Spirit wants to accomplish in our lives as we look at the two fruit, patience and kindness. Now I'd like to look at patience, or long-suffering as the King James says. I looked at a number of different Greek words for when it is used, patience and long-suffering, in the scripture. And there are like four or five different Greek words for patience and long-suffering. And I found it interesting because there was a little bit of variation, but a lot of them had a lot of the same idea. So from that, I didn't take that there's just a lot of difference in the meaning of whether it uses the word long-suffering or patience. At times, patience, particularly in the context it is used, is talking about endurance. But, you know, if you look at patience in the as overall, whether it's, you know, whether we tend to be impatient, it is a test of endurance, even though it may be referring to particularly in endurance when we are called to keep on, to press on, don't give up. Adam Clark gave this definition of patience. Kind of broke it into two parts. Long-mindedness, bearing with the frailties and provocations of others, from the consideration that God has borne long with ours, and that if he had not, we should have been speedily consumed. In other words, saying it's being patient with other people that we interact with, recognizing that God has been patient with us. If he had not, we would already be consumed. And then the second part is bearing up also through all the troubles and difficulties of life without murmuring or repining, submitting cheerfully to every dispensation of God's providence, and thus deriving benefit from every occurrence. So as I think of like what the pastors in India are facing, this is the kind of patience particularly that I think of for them, is the troubles and difficulties of life. Although we all face those troubles and difficulties of life. As I look at patience, of course, God is our example for that. And I'd like to read just a number of scriptures that describe how God is patient with us. Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 15:5-6, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There in particular, it calls him the God of patience. 1 Peter 2:19 through 24. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Here in the first part, it talks some about the patience that it takes for life's trials. It says that what glory is it if you do wrong and you suffer for it? You know, that's just kind of the natural consequence. But when you do right and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, God takes note of that. This is acceptable with God. And then it goes on to show how Christ gave himself over to God's plan and shows how he came to bring us righteousness. In 2 Peter 3:8 through 10, it also talks about a different kind of patience that God has. But beloved, Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If you recall, here is where Peter is saying that there's scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where's the promise of his coming? And then he leads up to this and then comes and says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but the reason that he is long-suffering is that all should come to repentance. I found several quotes about patience that I thought were fascinating and some and helpful. So I'll be reading these now. A man by the name of Paul Sweeney said this: how can a society that exists on instant mashed potatoes, packaged cake mixes, frozen dinners, and instant cameras teach patience to its young? Could add microwaves to that and many other things that are almost instant. Another one: patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead. By Mac McCleary. And this is author unknown. Patience is the ability to count down before you blast off. And I think that kind of has a good point to it. When we fly off the handle because of impatience, patience is the ability to keep things in check. Franklin Jones says this: you can learn many things from children. How much patience you have, for instance. And there's a book out that speaks in part of this, the things that we learn as parents from teaching our children. Usually we think of it the other way, what we're trying to teach our children. But in the process of teaching our children, there are things that God wants to teach us as well. And maybe the biggest one is patience, I don't know. John Quincy Adams says this: patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. Think of that especially in light of our relationships with other people. Another one: patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength. I really appreciated that one, because often we think of patience as just, we kind of have the idea that it's passive. But here it actually says it is active, it is concentrated strength. And the last one, an Indian proverb that goes like this: for the friendship of two, the patience of one is required. Now I'd like to move on, how patience affects our relationships. And this proverb particularly speaks of that. When we interact with others, we will soon discover flaws, and they will sometimes disappoint us. But as I see patience takes these things in stride and gives the other person the room to grow. And you know, patience, when it is displayed to us, is really appreciated. Can you imagine how much it is appreciated when we give it to others? Another quote that I felt was worthy of mentioning: a long-suffering person is a person who is slow to anger and is anxious to forgive injuries. He has more capacity to put up with personal insults. people cannot easily offend a long-suffering person. That was a challenge for me. If I'm easily offended, is it that I have not learned what it is to be patient? And this one really ouched. The length of our patience with people determines the measure of our spirituality. I believe this is more true than we want to admit it often. Oh, we have our excuses. It may be even something that we blame on family lines. You know, the Millers or the Knisleys or whatever name you want to fill in, we're always short-tempered, or, you know, we might have our excuses. But I believe that the length of our patience can be an indication of where our heart is. So let's be careful lest we just lean on the excuses rather than taking responsibility. And especially understanding the important thing of where our heart is. Proverbs 16:32 also sheds some light. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. This to me speaks of what this one quote talked about, that patience is not passive, but it's active. You know, when we think of mighty men, we often think of those going to war. But here it says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and those that rule their spirit are greater than he that takes a city. It's obvious that God sees the potential of those who rule their spirit, who are patient. There are many ways and times that our patience is tried. You know, anybody we work closely with, be it at work, at church, or at home, those are the times when our patience will be tested. So how well are you doing? How well am I doing? Again, coming back to kind of the crux of the matter, are you responding in the flesh or in the spirit? If you tend to be impatient, we are living out of the flesh. But if we are able to take those things and grow by them and allow them to change us and show patience, remember it's the work of the Spirit in our lives. If you're like me, you have found deficiencies in the area of patience. But let's remember, rather than try to change the outer, let's deal with it at the heart level. And let's confess areas of sin. You know, often in impatience, we lash out and hurt others. Let's confess that as sin. And ask God for a fuller measure of himself so that your in my life displays the fruit of patience. Now I'd like to move on to the fruit of kindness, or as it says in the King James, gentleness. Just a few translations use the word gentleness. Most translations use the word kindness. Kindness is an attitude and an action. You know, we can be kind on the outside maybe for a while, but unless it's really in our heart, it will be short-lived. I'd like to give several definitions of kindness. I think we all have a basic idea, but I thought some of these were helpful. First one's pretty obvious. Quality or state of being kind. A goodness of heart, serviceable, good, gracious, and pleasant. Here again, talking about love encompassing so much of these others. this definition. Love for mankind, hospitality, acts of kindness, readiness to help, human friendship, benevolence, taking thought of others. Another one, goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, gentleness in dealing with others, affability. And this one kind of links it to patience. The ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. So patience might be where we're able to just hold it in. But kindness kind of goes the step further and acts out of the welfare of those who may be taxing our patience. I'd like to also give you a few quotes that I found on kindness. Jesse Jackson said, "Never look down on anybody unless you're helping him up." And an anonymous quote, "It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice." Treat everyone with politeness, even those who are rude to you, not because they are nice, but because you are. Again, I see the quality of love. Kindness isn't just being kind to those who are kind to us, but it's being kind to those who aren't kind to us. This is a little bit more of a story. Joanne Jones says this, "During my second year of nursing school, our professor gave us a quiz. I breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this was a joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Before the class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our grade. Absolutely, the professor said. In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. I've never forgotten that lesson. I also learned her name was Dorothy." Another one that's unknown. "Don't wait for people to be friendly. Show them how." George Washington Carver was to have said this, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these." Of course, there's an assumption there that we grow to an old age, but there's a lot to be learned from that. Tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Frank Clark, "Real generosity is doing something nice for someone who will never find out." And Booker T. Washington said this, "One man cannot hold another down in the ditch without remaining down in the ditch with him." Reminds me particularly of what we say. What are the things that we say? Are they kind about others? And if they aren't, can we remember this? One man cannot hold another man down in the ditch without remaining down in the ditch with him. And then this one, I think is especially noteworthy as we think of passing the baton on to next generation. "The true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit." Which that goes with kindness as well. That is not scripture, but some of these I think can be helpful in understanding kindness. Now I want to turn to the scripture that is the guide for our life, and there is so much richness about kindness, showing kindness to others. I will be reading four passages in particular. First one is the love chapter, and it actually covers these two graces that I'm talking about, patience and kindness. Beginning in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." So charity suffers long. It extends that extra grace to others to allow them to grow. And then it is kind. It shows the kindness that all people deserve. The next one is found in Romans 12. If you'd like to, you can turn to that. This again is so rich, not only talking about kindness, but so many things that God would have us as. He follows the gifts up with these verses, beginning in verse 9, Romans 12, 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I thought of the thing of being given to hospitality, distributing to the necessity of saints. These are all acts of kindness. giving people a blessing can be an act of kindness, particularly those who persecute you, as it says here. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those that weep. Caring for them in that way is an act of kindness. Don't recompense evil for evil. Live peaceably with all men. And then, just kind of fleshing out, blessing those who persecute you. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. That's kindness. And that can only be done as the Spirit fills us with his love, and we can be kind to those who are mistreating us. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It talks about those things that we want to put away, but then it says put on, or it doesn't say, but I'm saying that. Be ye kind, put on kindness one to another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. In Colossians 3:12-14, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. As I look at Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about a fruit of the Spirit dwelling within our lives. In Colossians, then, Paul speaks a number of these same fruit, but he says that it's something that we need to also put on. So to me, it says this: it's always right to do right. God wants our heart to be right as well, but it's always right to do right. And so let's remember that God wants us to do these things, but let's also rely on Him for that strength and that power for it to come. We are called to show kindness to all people at all times. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the phrase random acts of kindness, but there are, I don't know, is it an organization, but at least, if I understand it right, it's the secular world who challenges other people to do random acts of kindness. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, I bring us back to, I believe it is often self-motivated. It may be kind of a, well, if you do it, you'll feel good about yourself. And I believe our kindness as Christians should come from our heart, from the heart change that God has brought. It needs to be driven by the Holy Spirit. But what I think is sad is if we Christians are in a sense put to shame by those who are not Christians by doing the random acts of kindness, and we are found not being kind to others, which I believe is a sad representation of Christ to others. So may we be the kind of people of Christ's followers who are being kind to all people at all times. And need I remind you, that's difficult without the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives and empowering us to be able to do that. And also as it relates to relationships in a brotherhood, a little kindness goes a long ways in helping relationships. Recently, I was challenged to just bless two people that I was sitting beside. And it was good for me to just think of how can I bless this person, the two people that were sitting beside me. And as I think of the brotherhood, I think that's something that we sometimes lack in. How can we bless our brothers and our sisters that sit in the pews with us? And that can be done verbally, it can be done in a note. But if someone blesses you in a particular way, or if you struggle in a relationship with someone, ask the Lord to show you a way that you can bless that person. That is a way of showing kindness to others. And as with patience, kindness, I think sometimes, is the thing that we struggle the most in those who we are closest to, at home, at work, the people we work closely with. I'd like to encourage us to continue to show hospitality to visitors, to our own people. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to invite them in our homes, but I really think that is a good opportunity to do it as well. Found it interesting that a neighboring church, they during the week, they don't have weekly meetings, but they have some smaller Bible study groups in their church. And one of the requirements that they have for that meeting through the week is that they have a meal together. And the comment was made that they feel like there's just really something good that happens when we sit together and eat a meal. So just a plug for us to, let's continue doing that if we're doing it well, and if we need encouragement, let's pick up on that, show kindness in that way. Also, another way to do that is take an interest in a child's world. Maybe sometimes we're too busy, but it's fun to see life from a child's perspective. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, what does it take to keep my interest? And I look at my 2-year-old son, and it doesn't take much for him. And maybe I've lost some of that mystery of just enjoying life from that kind of a perspective. Also, this is for maybe particularly for the men, but it can be for the ladies as well. Be kind and show kindness in opening the door for a woman, or this could be for both sides, an older person. Show kindness in that way. And as I said earlier, sometimes at home is where we need it the most. So kindness to your spouse and your children. And maybe sometimes we need to just kind of stop and reflect sometimes, how can I bless my wife or my husband or my children? And tell that to them. I'd like to draw this to a close. Patience and kindness. You know, they're both virtues that we appreciate when they're showered upon us. But God calls us to shower them upon others and to be servants in that way. And let's always remember that these are fruit of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Patience and kindness are both virtues that our Lord displayed when he was here, and he wants us to be imitators of him. I think I'll just take a few minutes for you to reflect. In the areas of patience and kindness, has the Lord spoken to you? And is there an area that you need to confess to him as sin? And also for you to surrender again your heart to him and allow his Spirit to fill you so that you might have the fruit of patience and kindness. So I'll just give you a few minutes of silence, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. And Lord, I thank you for the oil that you have given for the relationships that we have. And I think of particularly patience and kindness being the kinds of oil that make a brotherhood and a body work together. Lord, if we're honest, we recognize that we failed in both of these areas. So we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Thank you for your patience with us. For the many times that we fail and you draw us back to yourself and you give us the room to grow. I pray, Lord, that we could extend that to others. And then, Lord, thank you for your kindness to us, for having mercy on us when we deserved judgment, for the grace that you give. Lord, I pray that we could be ministers of your kindness to others. Lord, we recognize that when we try it in our flesh, we often fail. But we ask that your Spirit fill us with these two fruit so that we can extend these two to others. And through that,
better reflect your glory, your image to others, both to those that we meet with in the body here and those we interact with outside of these walls. You have called us to be image bearers, and Lord, we do that imperfectly, but by your grace and by your Spirit filling us, we can do that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill us and use us for your glory. Pray this through Christ. Amen.